they forget to tell you, episode 41.
Is it already?
Yeah.
Episode 41. Hi. Steve.
Hi, Steve.
What's happening? What's popping? What's crack-a-lackin'? All right. So
that's really intense. I'm waiting for her to call.
We're waiting for Karen to call in.
Yeah.
Okay. And then can you figure that out while I just deal with this real quick?
So, bye, Auntie Jill. Okay. So, Karen is gonna call. She had an experience at the day program with her mom, who also has Alzheimer's. She's had it for the last 5 years, and she was gonna call in to discuss that experience. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to call her or she's gonna call in, but we'll wait. So yeah, basically, there is a day program, and I'm not sure. I want to know from her perspective. My mom used to go to the day program as well. When she first was diagnosed, she went there 3 days a week. And I'm not sure at the process now. I thought there was a waiting list, but she's going to probably fill us in on how that process is in today's, because that was like, I think maybe 15 years ago that my mom was at that day program. Or maybe I'll just call her. Let's see. How's your week going while we wait? Hi.
Hi.
You're on.
Oh, okay.
I just kind of gave a brief introduction about how your mom, we were talking about the day program. I didn't really know too much, but you're going to fill us in on like the process now. Like, I'm not sure because my mom went such a long time ago, so I don't know.
Right. Okay, so you said you already did a brief intro?
Yeah, that you were coming on to explain a little bit about the process and what happened. Yeah.
Okay, so, hi everybody. Just to recap, my mom was diagnosed in October of 2013, so we're coming on 5 years. I can't even believe it's been 5 years, because sadly that could mean that she has 5 more years left.
No, that's not what it means.
Since some people succumb to the disease at around 10 years. But anyways, we're talking about day programs. So we've tried before to get my mom to participate in the Alzheimer's Run Day program. But because she's an early onsetter and a beautiful woman of color, she looks very young. She knows she looks young. And she just did not feel that the other participants in the program were in her age group. So like Karen's mom, my mom is a nurse. And so she saw people who were, you know, honestly, they're looking like they're 80, 85. A lot were nonverbal, in chairs, sitting down. So it really was not an ideal environment for a still very physically able and vibrant early onsetter. So we tried that maybe 3-4 years ago, and my mom was on the waiting list for another day program. Now this one was not inside of an Alzheimer's society facility. It was inside of a local long-term care facility.
So
we got the call. And they had a spot, and we were, you know, we had to go with her notice of assessment to see if she qualified for a subsidy, her health card, and
So that's, I think, what's different, because back when my mom went, there was you just obviously you have to do the health card and stuff, but I mean, it wasn't in terms of income, like you automatically qualified.
Well, I think you qualify, but I think you have to pay, and honestly, you'll understand why I don't know much, because it didn't go very well.
Okay.
So I think it's usually if someone's pension is like under 20,000, usually then they qualify for a subsidy. So that would be someone who, you know, probably wasn't a professional person with a good pension. So really somebody who was on social assistance or ODSP, obviously those folks would automatically qualify for a subsidy based on their income level.
So you're basically telling me now this is income-based?
Well, I think we would have to pay like maybe $20-$40 a day.
Yeah, my mom had to pay.
But if you have a subsidy, obviously it would be reduced.
Okay.
Right? And what that would be, I'm not sure. So the meeting was Black Week Tuesday, and I got stuck in a little bit of traffic. I was meeting my parents there. My dad was taking my mom. And it was at a place where they go for a geriatric exercise program, part of the Lynn's fall prevention program. So it's just a room full of seniors, mostly sitting in chairs, doing exercises to keep folks active. So it's a facility my mom is used to going to.
Okay.
But on the, last week, Tuesday, they went into a separate door. And it was for the day program. So they started to give my parents a tour. And I'm not sure what the lady, Irene, was saying. But my mom got extremely agitated and was trying to get out of the place. Now, this is a locked facility. But when I got to the door, I could see my dad pulling my mom because she's trying to, like, run out of the building. So when I punched the code and I got in, she got out. So my dad went out, and then I spoke to the staff there, and I got the tour, and the place looked nice, and some of the folks did look like they fell within my mom's age group, but there were a couple of folks in with walking aids. But what was most shocking to me was when I was speaking to the lady, she said, well, your mom said that she's 30, my mom's 72, turning 73. She told the woman, I'm 30 years old, I'm a nurse, why would I need to come here? And then the lady turns to me and says, oh, well, we couldn't have your mom here at all. She would need to be medicated. I think she needs more meds. She's too strong for us. We couldn't handle her.
She said that in front of your mom?
No, not in front of my mom. My mom had run out the door. But I thought, like, hello world, my mom is an early onsetter, which means, yes, she's still physically able. Like, she's 72, and she looks 65. And so, yeah, she's in good physical health. So, yeah, that means she's still strong, and she can still move quickly. She doesn't shuffle. And you're telling me that you would only take my mom back if I gave her meds to make her numb so she was no longer herself. Like, that's the support that's there for early onsetters. I was just shocked to be standing there and have someone tell me.
So basically,
your mom needs more meds if she wants to come here.
Basically, you can't have these symptoms of Alzheimer's to be in the Alzheimer Day program.
Pretty much, yeah. That's a very good way to put it, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, so that was the bust.
So who went after your mom?
Oh, well, you know, she didn't go very far. After I got the mini tour, my parents were sitting in the car waiting for me. My mom was very upset, and you know, she just thought that my dad was trying to put her in a home. And it's funny, because when I first engaged with the Alzheimer's Society of Canada, I asked them, I remember calling them, and saying, why do all your supports for folks with Alzheimer's happen in long-term care facilities? Because people are anxious,
yeah.
right? So the day program is in a place that does long-term care. Like, why don't they have, you know, find community spaces, like a recreation center, where someone is not going to feel like you're secretly, because of, you know, there's so much paranoia, you're secretly trying to put them in care behind their back.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, like, my mom would do well in a program. My dad deserves the break of her being in a program, but programs don't meet her needs. And I'm not going to dope my mom up just so she can sit somewhere doing nothing.
I wish they put that in writing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was shocked.
Well, trying to play devil's advocate, is it because they have a lack of staff to maybe control early onset patients that are active and wanting to run and wanting to do those type of things? Like, if it's one person per se, I don't know, 20 patients that are kind of sedated and older and just playing cards or just doing exercises or whatever, that's not really high maintenance, versus you get like a couple of, you know, early onset patients like your mom, where they have to have active staff that can actually deal with that type of outburst or reaction. Could it be something like that, where they just don't have the staff or the facility to maybe I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out why that would happen.
Wait, but here's the thing. You're a long-term care facility. You should have the staff.
I understand, but I'm saying in terms of when you were there with your experience, did it look like they had like an accurate number of people there working?
I saw a couple of people. Like, it was hard to tell because the staff who were working there probably looked 50-ish. So, to be honest, hard to really tell who was a staff and who wasn't. So I did see maybe two staff, but I have to say that this woman who was in charge of the program, she literally looked, and my mom, like, wasn't violent, but she looked shooken up.
Right.
Right? Like, she looked shooken up. And I've spent my professional career working in the shelter system with folks who are experiencing homelessness, and we've had many folks in there with varying degrees of concurrent disorders, you know, mental health addictions and dementias, and we were able to handle it. We were always able to handle situations, and I just don't understand why there seems to be this fear. And I believe that the staff in long-term care facilities are properly trained, they're highly educated, and I think it is just a cop-out, to be honest. Because if you try to get a homeless person into a long-term care bed, they would say, well, they have behaviors associated with their homelessness. And then they would not want to accept them. And I think this is the same thing. It's just happening with early onsetters. And there's no excuse, because when one part of the system fails to provide service, why is it always another part that's getting paid less money, always able to do the job? So I just don't understand.
Definitely frustrating. Those are some great points to actually bring up and, you know, maybe try and figure out the answers to those questions.
Was there a waiting list? Because my understanding is
there was a waiting list. Oh. We were on the waiting list for a while.
Like how long would you say?
Maybe a year.
Oh, wow. Maybe.
This is what people don't know.
Wow. So what do they expect you to do within that year? Like, just kind of entertain your mom?
Nothing. Yeah.
So I called her Lynn worker. And
which is the local integrated health
Thank
network
Karen.
For people.
And I said, my dad needs PSW support. So here's the thing. Because my dad is a young 73, when they come and they see him, you know, doing okay. Because he is. But not 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right? So they've never qualified for PSW supports because my dad, you know, when they're here for the 1 hour, everything looks good.
So just so that everyone's aware, typically when you have a loved one that has dementia or Alzheimer's or any varying illnesses, you could qualify for help that a personal support worker will come to your house and help with bathing and feeding and things like that. But the issue is, like Karen's mentioning, is if you have someone that's in the house that they feel is able-bodied to assist and do those jobs, you won't qualify for those hours, which is what Karen's saying.
Right.
Which so it is, falls back so, right back on her dad.
Right. So now we have the lady coming in on Monday, this week Monday, to do another assessment. And so after my mom had the experience at the day program, we then get a call for a bed in a long-term care facility.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And so we only really want one location, but we put down, I think, two or three, I can't remember. And we really only want a private room, mm-hmm. and this was for a semi. But it was, like, for 24 hours, my dad's, like, white as a ghost, doesn't know what to do. My mom is, you know, she's not there yet, but it's just with this disease, it's so scary because you don't know when it's going to change.
Yeah.
And become much harder. Right? And so you're almost scared to say no because you don't know when the next call will be.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you on that waiting list? The same time?
I think about a year and a half, but it's because we picked an area out in Dufferin County. So in a small community where most people don't want to go.
So let's recap, right? But it's a year for a day program, to get your loved one in a day program, waiting list, in Peel. And I think that's across the board. I think that's Ontario. And a year and a half for a long-term care home. And well, that's in Dufferin County. And I'm sure it's longer. Because
I heard
3 years.
Yeah, she said she was shocked that we got the call. But it was only because it's Dufferin County. So it's really like Shelburne, Dundalk,
yeah, see?
Orangeville. It's places that, you know, the only people who are putting down those areas are people who live in those areas.
Right.
So that was the only reason. Because we're also on the wait list in Orangeville. And we're way down on the list there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's 24 hours to decide.
So,
right?
What, you got the call when?
We got the call, I think it was Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's 24 hours to decide. And so the call comes to me. So then I'm trying to call my dad to talk, but, you know, my mom, all phone calls have to be on speakerphone, so I actually had to, like, drive over and bring my kids to distract my mom so my dad and I could talk, and, you know, and then I asked him, can you do this for another year, and he said he thinks so, and I just hope that not much changes in the bulk of that next year. Because it's, you know, he's looking exhausted.
It's a lot of stress on him.
It is a lot of stress on him. And
at that age, it's that's dangerous because they're super fragile as they get older. You know, it's like they think they can handle it, but...
Well, he already had health concerns.
My dad has never had problems with blood pressure until he started caring for my mom. And his aorta ruptured when he just happened to be in the hospital. So he almost died last year. And he's never had high blood pressure in his whole life. He actually has low blood pressure. And it was high. And like I said, his aorta ruptured when they opened him up in the hospital. His chest cavity was full of blood from the stress.
So why is this even a question in terms of
the PSW,
whether he can do this another year or not? That shouldn't even be up for an option. That should just...
You know what? The system is so broken because the Lynn, the worker, everybody knew that my dad was in the hospital. I emailed everybody saying this is what happened. And I then took off 2 weeks of work to care for my mom because my dad was in the hospital. And, you know, I didn't want to put her, like, get a respite bed because she wanted to care for her husband. She wanted to visit her husband in hospital. So we just kind of made it work. But
So think about the team that your mom has, which not everyone has access to. Because you're a little bit, obviously, being in human services, you have a little bit more knowledge than the average person.
Right.
Second of all, so it's your dad who is navigating, and he's like on the front line, right?
Right.
And then you're there in the back still advocating and kind of on the front line too. But like, the average person doesn't have this team, and you're still having issues.
Absolutely.
With all of that going on.
Absolutely.
So, no. You know, like, it's just...
I don't understand, like, you know, maybe like 20 years ago.
I know, like, when my mom, I can't believe you're going through similar things.
Yeah.
18 years in.
Yep.
Wow. So nothing has changed, really.
Not much has changed. I don't know, like, you know, we see the neurologist, gerontologist, like, I think we're down to maybe once a year now. Because, yeah. You know, they just say, well, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
It's progressive. Do you need insured?
Yeah.
That they just push the insured. And that's about it. That's it.
Okay,
that's
so again, not playing devil's advocate or anything like that, but what would the two of you suggest that they do, since you said not much has changed in 18 years, and these are the issues that you're having right now, Karen. So in this moment, to try and find the solution, what would have to be put in place or happening for you guys to feel like, okay, there's a solution going on, there's some progression happening, there's steps being followed, like, what would have to be going on?
Well, for me, I think that the research has already been done. We have an aging population, and the stats are out. We know that lots of people are going to be having dementia.
And you're going to be either, it's a sad reality, but either you're going to have it, or you're going to be, it's going to affect you in some way, like
right.
Personally.
Absolutely. And I think that we have to look at our communities. I think we have to think about our aging population. I think that day programs, places like that, need to be embedded in our, like, parks and rec type things, in our libraries and spaces where we're not necessarily segregating, because for an early onsetter, they don't need to be segregated from society. They just need to be in places that are safe, places where if they get upset or agitated, that they can't leave. Right? Like, that's all we need. And these places don't need to be in a long-term care facility, because that's the one thing that almost every person with Alzheimer's at some point is going to fear.
Yeah.
And so why is that where we're sending them for their day program? Like, it's backwards.
Yeah.
It's backwards. Like, we need...
They say, and it's so funny, because the irony is, the research states that that's why it's so important for somebody with early onset to have a schedule and a routine and a familiar place. But then we want to take them out of that place and put them in an unfamiliar, institutionalized place.
Right.
And not think that they're going to be confused and react.
And then if you think about, like, if we're trying to change, like, I mean, we need to be communities that care about one another, right? Because we're all aging.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many great places where they have daycares, where, you know, the daycare young people interact with seniors. I mean, why are we taking a vibrant group of folks with some cognitive challenges or dementias? I mean, they can go in a community space and do some exercise.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, they can be in a library.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we have a lot of these places, or like the infrastructure is already there. I mean, how many times do you go to a community center in the daytime and all their spaces are not being used except for in the summer when they have summer camps because everyone's at school and at work, and so those rooms are used for programming in the evening. But in the daytime, I know Loafers Lake, the rooms are empty. So the infrastructure is there. We just need to, you know, everyone needs to wrap their brain around providing compassionate care for someone with dementia. And then the benefit, obviously, is the caregiver finally gets a break.
Yeah, to get the respite care, yeah.
And even if the caregiver is just in a space with their loved one, it could be doing crafts or watching a movie or something. I mean, that person also needs a break from their home, because at some point when you're caring for someone, it means you never leave your home.
Exactly.
And so your home is starting to feel like a prison for you, because you can't leave it.
Yeah.
My dad is, he takes my mom to Tim Hortons and back, because I know he's afraid.
Yeah.
And because she took off once and was missing for 3 hours, and he doesn't want to experience that again. So his lovely home is... You know, it's like his prison.
Yeah.
He can't leave her.
That's how it becomes, yeah. Yeah.
So Wendy, to answer your question, that's what I would like. I would like community public spaces be opened up and folks with dementia be welcomed into those spaces, and our Ministry of Health to fund staff and just think about supporting people in the communities that they already live in and have been paying taxes in forever.
Yeah, I don't think that sounds too far-fetched.
No.
Neither do I.
So that's something we could advocate for.
I mean, I compare that all the time to, you know, new moms. Like, in a couple months, I'm going to be hatching this baby, and of course...
Did you say hatching?
Yeah, hatching. And, you know, as new moms, doesn't matter if it's your first one, your second, your fourth, your sixth, you need support and you need a break and you need to be able to get out the house and you need to be able to go and, you know, do something outside of being mommy and milk machine and food and, you know, like, it's, you need a break. It's just human nature. You just need
Absolutely.
To be able to,
which
yeah.
is why I want to start this foundation, because that's exactly the vision statement, right? Caregivers need a break.
Yeah, so I mean, just to add to what you said, Wendy, with my four kids, I went to the early years. I loved taking my kids to the early years, you know, and that was where I got my break. I got to meet other moms. I got to see my kids interact.
Yeah.
They had a lot of great programs. It's free in all communities. And so why can't we have that for our aging population?
Yeah.
Cognitive challenges.
I agree.
Like, we already do it. We do it for new moms.
Yeah.
Why can't we do it for folks who are aging?
Yeah. 100%. Good point. Okay, so maybe that's something that we should absolutely look into and work on. I mean, with Karen, you know, starting this foundation and everybody, you know, putting great ideas like this together, this is what's going to make
doable.
It amazing. You know, this is what is going to make the difference between 18 years ago versus next year or the year after. There's going to be a substantial difference because there's people that are out there trying to find the solution.
Like Kalina said, it's cabin fever because she's looking after her grandmother. Sometimes you do.
You're stuck inside.
I know totally how that feels.
Yep.
Okay, good.
So this is good. So, of course, we'll have you on again, Karen. We'll stay tuned.
Okay.
For the developments. And we're going to really work on this. It's not lip service. We're really going to work on this. It's, you know, my passion. I have to see change. It's been too long. I can't believe it's still going on, but oh well. We'll have to do something about it.
Yes, this is a problem I don't want my children to have to deal with.
Yeah, God me forbid. Neither. Me
right?
neither.
Yeah, it has to get better.
Yeah.
And it will. And it will. So we're grateful for you, you know, calling in or being called and, you know, sharing with us the your experience. It, I'm sure, you know, if it doesn't even just help us, it helps. There's so many others that are probably experiencing the same thing. So thank you for that.
And I put your testimonial in my book.
Oh, okay, good. Good, I'm glad. Can't wait to read it.
Oh, it's funny. Parts of it are funny.
I'm sure. All right, well, good night, ladies.
Okay, good night.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was good.
That was really good.
And on that note, I wanted to also...
And informative. Sorry, what?
Well, we lost Aretha today. We lost Aretha Franklin.
I thought you were going to tell me something, like, well...
What?
Well, okay, you know.
I'm going to tell you something, what?
Like a personal loss.
It is a personal loss.
But, you know...
It's
do you
huge
know her,
loss.
Did you know her personally?
Feel like I do. I grew up on her music.
Okay.
I mean, it's still sad. Sorry, does it have to be, like frontline people in your family in order for you to be affected? In any case... We lost a
Her
huge
music lives on.
Music
she's,
icon
she's
today.
She's legendary, so she, you know.
No, and she was suffering. I hear that she passed from cancer, but I mean, again, 76 is a pretty good run. She had a good life.
Yeah.
And that left
and it was full.
Left a good legacy, so we say rest in power, Aretha. She will continue to.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yes. She paved the way for many. So in any case, next week, what are we touching on? Anybody else calling in?
I think Monique might call in. She said, and she's a caregiver to her daughter.
Her daughter has also?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I just think it's still relevant because, you know.
Caregiver's
a
caregiver.
The caregiver is a caregiver. And it will give us a different perspective because very, very challenging. And Sharon, you always watch. When's Sharon supposed to come on? And talk about her experiences as well.
I don't know Sharon. But hi, Sharon.
Sharon is a colleague of mine. I used to work at the Region of Peel with her. But, yeah, Sharon, you just message me and let me know if you want to come on next week.
We'll make room for you on the couch. I'll just scoot over or scoot this way, and you could be right in the middle.
Yeah, you could. You could be in the middle.
Like
pass,
an Oreo
you
cookie.
Can pass, yeah, you can pass her, like, whatever she's snacking on.
I don't have snacks today. I just have water.
I bought her a McFlurry today.
It's in the freezer.
So.
I wasn't in the mood. But I will be. So.
For later.
It's all about timing.
Whatever. She goes, it's too cold. I don't feel like anything cold right now. I
want something salty, sourish. And then I dealt with water.
Agua.
When in doubt, reach for the water. Okay.
Okay, that was great. Thank you for tuning in. Till next week. Oh, it might have to be on the author page so that I could...
Why do you keep saying that and then that doesn't happen? What was happening with Facebook? You just can't boost it.
Yeah, like sometimes I boost the podcast so that it could reach more people. And you can't do it on... I can't do it anymore from my page. I have to do it on my... author page. But hopefully maybe next week maybe my book will be done.
So weird though, like are you sure? Because no, because I'm thinking maybe is it settings or something?
No,
that you have like
no, it just says you can't you
so
can only
weird.
Do it on your author page.
Odd.
Oh, Karen's calling Matt. I wonder if she remembered something. Did you remember something?
Hello,
we're still on. Did you remember something? Okay, I'll call you back then.
Sorry.
Okay, bye.
Well then.
Okay.
You can't make this stuff up.
It's live.
And direct.
And scripted.
Can you bring candy next week?
You're putting in orders. It's whatever I feel like bringing.
But then it's whatever you feel like bringing might not be what I feel like eating.
Well, there's no Twizzlers, so that's off the list.
I'm Twizzlered out.
And I'm not bringing you sour suckers.
Why?
Oh,
yeah, no, the sour keys are still in there. No. You can take those back. I don't like those sour key things. I tried to. I was like, ugh.
Don't your kids like it? You're like, what?
I just drooled. else, why did you bring them here?
Because oh my God.
You don't like them.
I don't eat them.
How did you get a big bag and then put, like, some in a Ziploc? Where's the rest of the bag?
It's not a bag. It was, like, from Costco, that thing, the container.
You bought an entire container full of those nasty...
Yeah. I do have a child.
Then you can give them back and put them back in the container.
That kid called Jalen,
He likes those things? Yeah, nasty. No, they're not even good. And I'm all about candy, but there's...
Do you like Werther's?
No. The Werther's, I mean, they just take too long. You have to keep sucking it and sucking it and sucking it, and it just doesn't go anywhere. It just stays the same.
Well, isn't that good? Then you're getting value for your money.
No, sometimes you just want to just get in there.
Save your money. Okay, we digress, as usual.
I'm getting kicked in my spleen.
Because he knows. She or he knows.
Knows what? That those What's sour up? Those no. sour keys are nasty.
He's waiting for his auntie. And whatever.
Whatever. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Share.
Oh, Azura says hi.
I don't know who that is.
Karen's daughter.
Hi.
Oh, she's in the book too. Her testimonial. Do you even share? Yeah, you share. Can't lie. I'll tag you.
I'm not sharing this one.
Too late. You're going to get tagged.
If you had brought candy, maybe I would.
I brought you a McFlurry. Oh my God.
Okay, I'll trade the McFlurry for like a sour bag of candies. The Starburst ones.
Okay, fine. All right, I'll get you.
You know what the juicy middles?
There's like juicy middles?
Yeah, like you bite into it and there's like juice and then you get to like finish the candy. There's a lot of stuff going on.
All right, I'll look for that. All
right, y'all.
I'll ask Willy Wonka.
I don't think he makes that.
I was being sarcastic.
No, but Willy Wonka makes nerds and sweet tarts.
How do you know this? Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you.
I read the packaging.
As you're squeezing up the bag. For breakfast.
No, it's those sour ones with the, with the sugar on the bottom of the bag. I cannot wait to get to the bottom of the bag just to eat the sugar.
Okay.
No, it's ridiculous. Sometimes I'll dump the candies out just so I can have like the little pile of sugar that's on the bottom of the bag.
Do you remember Fun Dip?
Yes.
That was my candy in the day.
They sell that at Dollarama.
And to think about it, that was really nasty when you really think about it.
Don't ruin it for me.
No, but it is. It's nasty. Like, you have to, like...
It's just powder.
Yeah, but it's dumb.
I used to do that with the Nestle Quick. You know, the chocolate milk?
Okay, yeah.
No, the hot chocolate, the powder?
Yeah.
With the tin? See, I'm salivating. So, I would crack open the tin, and I would take a spoon, and I just go to town. I would go to town!
Like, wouldn't your mouth be all, like...
No. You know? And I feel like now that's exactly what I need to go get.
Like, really? Like, you would just...
Yeah, but you do it bit by bit. You don't do it too much, because if you do it too much, it's too dry, and then you don't have enough saliva.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah. So you have to, like, you gotta, it's rations. It's bit by bit.
But see, where would you get this education?
Everybody in our generation knows exactly what I'm talking about, because everyone did it.
Clearly, we already established.
You're a closet, like... Nestle Quick person. I know you did. I know George and Marlene had the Nestle Quick in the cupboard. I know it.
You're forgetting part of my life was in Trinidad.
So?
I didn't drink milk.
You don't need milk for Nestle Quick. It was just instant. You could put it with water.
This is Trinidad.
Yeah. If you were high class and you had money, then you mix that shit with that stuff with milk.
No, you know what was the other one? How Now Brown Cow. What was that one? Is it Brown Cow?
Yeah.
That's the one I liked.
Yeah, because that was liquid.
Right.
I'm talking about the powder.
No.
The tin. The Nestle Quick tin.
It was brown cow.
You had to, like, pry it open with, like, a spoon or, like, a screwdriver.
Know. Not a screw. You're getting carried away. Okay. Tools. You need tools. You need a drill.
But everybody in our generation knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
You're acting like you don't.
The old tin thing.
Yes?
Yeah.
You take a spoon.
Yeah, before we moved, we had that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that tin. You used to eat the powder?
Like, on the daily.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I used to get in trouble from my parents all the time.
You needed good slaps for that.
But
that's ridiculous.
I did business. That stuff was so good.
I can imagine you getting caught in all your teeth. Did you eat it? No. And still lying. No. All your teeth are brown.
My brother used to, like, tell on me. Yeah. He used to rat me out, guy. It's so bad. But anyway, I used to enjoy it. I'd hide it in my room and stuff. It was pretty intense.
Something's wrong. How about the strawberry one?
I wasn't as crazy for the strawberry one. The chocolate one was the dip.
All right.
So.
Good to know.
Okay. That's a wrap. You guys have a great week. Thank you for watching, sharing, connecting, commenting, all of that jazz. Let us know how we can assist or help.
Oh, and we're working on some water bottles. What are they called? Swell? Anywho. For the foundation. So they're going to have the logo on it. So hopefully that will be ready soon, too.
Word up, homie G. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye.